when the Bible says laughter is good medicine, it actually means, if you look it up in the original language, it actually means laughter is good medicine. There's an interesting story back in David's day where he was so hungry for the presence of God to rest in Jerusalem. The presence of God was represented actually by the what's called the Ark of the Covenant, the box where certain things were inside the box. They couldn't touch it. It's actually where the glory, the presence of the Lord rested. And David wanted so much for the glory of God to be in his city in Jerusalem that he had set the stage for them to carry the ark. And the first time they tried, they did it through human reasoning, and somebody died, and David was depressed, and they parked the Ark of the Covenant in the guy's house named Obed-Edom, and everything he touched turned to gold, you know. So they started rethinking, perhaps when in doubt, open the owner's manual and find out how we're supposed to do this. And then they found out that God doesn't put his presence on the creation of man. He only puts his presence on what he created, which is man. The shoulders of priests, not on the machines we make. Not the organizations. I don't care if it's Bethel Church or if it's YWAM or anything else. That's not where the presence is. The presence is on people. Always, 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 always it's on people. You can have good people in an inferior setting and they'll carry the presence in there. It's not the context that makes it powerful. So here, David says, I want the presence. So I think it was like a 7 mile, I forget now. Some of these guys don't know, 7, 8, a whole bunch of miles between Obed-Edom's house and Jerusalem. And what David does is he takes off his kingly robes and he strips down to kind of like an undergarment for priests, a tunic. And he began to dance wildly down this street. And everywhere dancing David went, the Ark of the Covenant followed. So if you could just picture, here's a king that is just besides himself with joy, fearful joy, because the last guy that tried this died. Sober-minded joy. And he's giving this offering, celebrating before the Lord, dancing wildly before God, leaping in the air, doing this. And he does this for miles. And his wife is in the palace, and she watches him out the window of the palace. Now, this is weird, because the Bible says all of Israel was there, but Michael, his wife, was in the palace. And it's strange how weird worship looks to those who are not in it. And some things just don't make good TV, you know what I mean? There's some things that it just doesn't make good TV. It's like you've got to be in it for it to make sense. You know, I equate a revival to those geodes, those rocks that are so ugly on the outside, but on the inside, they're spectacular and beautiful. That's revival right there. On the outside, it's offensive. The inside, it's gorgeous. And so David's dancing wildly before the Lord. Michael, his wife, despises him in her heart, it says. And he comes home after this. The presence is settled in Jerusalem. The glory is present. He's besides himself with joy. He comes home, and his wife has issues. David returned to bless his household, and Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet him and said, "How glorious was the king of Israel today?" This is sarcasm on steroids. She's trying to undermine her husband big time. How glorious was the king today, uncovering himself in the eyes of his maids, the maids of his servants, as one of the base fellows, shamelessly uncovers himself. So David responds, "It was before the Lord who chose me instead of your father and all his household." Men, I do not suggest this. I do not suggest this. I'm just reading the facts. He says, "Therefore, I will play music before the Lord." And then he goes on and he says, "I will be even more undignified than this, and I'll be humble in my own eyes." And then he goes on, the scripture, one last verse says, "Therefore, Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no children to the day of her death." shout for joy, barren one, and you'll be moved into a fruit-bearing cycle that will surpass those who are years ahead of you. It will actually become a supernatural fruit-bearing cycle where you surpass everyone versus Michal, the daughter of Saul, who has the capacity to bear children her entire life. She loses it by despising joy. She loses it by despising expressive worship. Worship is not something that should be contained in nice civil packages. I don't mean that we need to try to be offensive or something. It's just a non-point. The point is it's honest. The point is, as we see him for who he is, we realize who he is, and we give offerings of joy and celebration before the circumstances around us have changed. And what he's actually saying is the people that choose to live that way, they become those who change the circumstances. See, when you and I were born again, the Holy Spirit took up residence inside of us and began to change us from the inside out. After we're saved, our relationships begin to improve. After we're saved, our work ethic improved. The way we loved our neighbor, care for people around us, the way we give ourselves in practical service, how we move in generosity, all that stuff increases once the Holy Spirit takes up residence in us. In other words, we live from the inside out. And Jesus put it this way, the kingdom of God is within you, which means all kingdom issues are heart issues. All issues of the kingdom are internal heart issues. And so for the believer, it's monitoring our inner world and watching how it reshapes our outer world. Now that's why in 3 John 2 it says, may you prosper, so that's money, and be in good health, which is your physical condition. May you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. So he's announcing there that your internal world will actually affect your money, your income, will affect your health. When the Bible says laughter is good medicine, it actually means, if you look it up in the original language, it actually means laughter is good medicine. It actually means, here's some medicine, laugh. Well, I want it to be real. Well, laugh till it is. It's not complicated. It's so funny. People don't want the counterfeit so much they'll embrace depression. I just want it to be real. What you're in isn't real. That hole you're in, you dug that one. That's not real. That's right. So here we've got Michal who loses the ability to be fruitful and put her next to the barren woman who surpasses those who have been able to have children their entire lifetime. You've got bookends. You've got this amazing story of what fruitfulness looks like in the kingdom. Yeah, but joy isn't laughter. Well, it's close. They are related. I think Randy Clark says it best. He says, tears are to repentance what laughter is to salvation. Tears are to repentance what laughter is to salvation. The point isn't to have a meeting where everybody laughs. The point is to have a lifestyle of joy, of taking time, you know, just to celebrate with joy the kindness and the goodness of the Lord. It's that rich expression of faith that just says, you know, Steve Backlund tells us all the time, let's just laugh at that. Let's just laugh at that. Let's just take the biggest obstacle. Let's just laugh at it. Really, it's That's the concept that's presented in this chapter. But it's not just saying, if you choose joy, I'll fix this problem. He's saying, if you choose joy, I will actually prepare you to inherit the nations you've asked for. It's just a lot bigger. It's a lot bigger than the physical issue that you have that you want healed. Yeah, it includes that, but it's bigger than that. It's actually about our destiny. Our destiny is to what? Do what? Disciple nations. Our destiny is to do what? To see cities transformed that represent what it looks like to be under the lordship of Jesus, live in the beauty and the bounty of his world. That's our destiny. How do you get there? Joy is a pretty integral part. It's actually celebrating with joy before the answer comes. It's actually what makes it, can I put it this way? It's what, I don't know if prove is the right word, but I'll use it. It's what proves to the Lord we are ready to disciple nations so that he gives us. You don't take nations for him. He already has the nations. Amen. Amen. Or we're just going to take possession of the nations. No, you don't want to do that because they belong to him. Amen. That's why it says ask of him for the nations. He already has them. He's looking to entrust the influence to culture, to values, to atmosphere of entire cities and nations to a group of people. He's just waiting for his people to be happy enough to entrust it to him. Yeah, that is a good word. All right. I heard of a guy who went into his doctor and got a report. He had some sort of a terminal disease. I forget all the details now. He asked the doctor what he should do, and he said, you know, if I were you, I'd just go home and watch every funny movie you could find. You know, rent every funny movie and just watch them. And he did. I don't remember the length of time now, but it was quite a few weeks, as I recall. And by the time he was through, he didn't have that terminal disease anymore. And it's, for some reason, people can embrace laughing at a funny movie, but not just choosing to laugh or to be joyful. And yet the Lord would not command me to do something of that nature if it were not within the reach of my will. He wouldn't say, as he does in Philippians, rejoice always. And again, I say rejoice. He wouldn't say rejoice unless it was actually within the reach of my will to obtain it. You would never, tell your child who has a $5 a week allowance to buy you a new car. I mean, it'd be cruel. You'd never expect that unless you were going to take them down and supply them with the resources to buy the car. The point is that you would never command them to do something of themselves that they were not capable of doing. So when the Lord tells us to rejoice and to celebrate before the answer comes, it means it's actually within the reach of our will. This is something I can actually choose to do. So joy is within reach always. Joy is the kingdom. It's at hand. It's always within reach. It's always within reach. It is always a reasonable solution for what I'm facing.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you watched this video. I do pray that it's a great, great strength and encouragement to you. And I've got a verse that really is my cry for all of us. And it's Psalms 20. It's verse 4. May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. That's my prayer. That's my prayer, is that this would be the season of rich, rich fulfillment. Thanks for joining us.